From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his exposition of Paul's epistle to the Romans as he brings the next portion of a message entitled Saluting Servants of the Gospel and Separating from Subverters, dealing with chapter 16. This final chapter of Romans is often overlooked in the course of many people's Bible readings because it appears to be nothing but a list of names that have little relevance to present-day Christians. Yet, as Dr. Cairns is explaining, there are important lessons in Paul's closing comments to the Roman believers. The chapter reveals that there were a number of churches in that great city, providing a powerful testimony in the midst of a pagan society. The Roman believers came from all classes of society, from noblemen to slaves, yet the churches were characterized by Christ-like love and unity. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please listen to this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening. Our text for this morning is found in 2 Corinthians 5 and 14. The love of Christ constraineth us. How much owest thou unto my Lord? Has he ever done anything for thee? Has he forgiven thy sins? Has he covered thee with a robe of righteousness? Has he set thy feet upon a rock? Has he established thy goings? Has he prepared heaven for thee? Has he prepared thee for heaven? Has he written thy name in his book of life? Has he given thee countless blessings? Has he laid up for thee a store of mercies which eye hath not seen nor ear heard? Then do something for Jesus worthy of his love. Give not a mere wordy offering to a dying Redeemer. How will you feel when your Master comes, if you have to confess that you did nothing for him, but kept your love shut up like a stagnant pool, neither flowing forth to his poor or to his work? Out on such a love as that! What do men think of a love which never shows itself in action? Why, they say, open rebuke is better than secret love. Who will accept a love so weak that it does not actuate you to a single deed of self-denial, of generosity, of heroism, or zeal? Think how he has loved you and given himself for you. Do you know the power of that love? Then let it be like a rushing mighty wind to your soul, to sweep out the clouds of your worldliness and clear away the mists of sin. For Christ's sake, be this the tongue of fire that shall sit upon you. For Christ's sake, be this the divine rapture, the heavenly afflatus to bear you aloft from earth, the divine spirit that shall make you bold as lions and swift as eagles in your Lord's service. Love should give wings to the feet of service and strength to the arms of labor. Fixed on God with a constancy that is not to be shaken, resolute to honor Him with a determination that is not to be turned aside, and pressing on with an ardor never to be wearied, let us manifest the constraints of love to Jesus. May the divine lodestone draw us heavenward towards itself.
Thank you. As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel as it is presented by Christ to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may simply call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
This church obviously epitomized the love and the unity of the early church. I have mentioned that there were Jews and there were Gentiles in it. As well as that, the names that are given here and the terminology that's used here leads most students, and I think rightly, to the conclusion that among these people are a number of slaves or of freed slaves. Now, get this in context. This is written to the church in Rome. Remember that under Roman law, a slave had no more, indeed might well have had less right than a dog. And yet the Apostle Paul is writing here, and along with Priscilla and Aquila and others of such mighty stature in the early church, he sets the slaves who have been bought with the blood of the Lamb and who have been installed in the fellowship of the Church of Jesus Christ in Rome. And the picture that is painted here is of these people forgetting their religious background distinctions, forgetting their cultural differences, forgetting their social differences, and every difference and every distinction that would come from every and any kind of worldly status. We see them humbly and unitedly gathered round the feet of the living, loving Lord Jesus Christ. And to me, that is one of the most beautiful pictures in the New Testament. When the Lord Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have loved one for another." Remember again the society and the world against which he said this. The backdrop of that statement is that world that I've just described, ruled by Rome, and Christ knew that his gospel's going out and it's going to take the slave owner and the slave, and it's going to bring the rich and the poor, the high and the mighty in the one hand, the downtrodden in the other hand, and it's going to bring them together, and it's going to equalize them at the feet of the Savior. And they are going to show the world, for the first time, the power of the love of Christ. The power of redeeming grace. The church epitomized by love and by unity. In comparison to that, there's not a distinction of class or creed or color or culture or anything that we come across in America that is even comparable in magnitude. Why then, do churches today find it so difficult to experience and exercise the loving unity that binds the people of God together at the feet of Christ? This church was obviously a living proof of Paul's statement given in Romans 1:16 that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Notice the reference to Aristobulus' household and then the reference to the household of Narcissus. While there is some degree of speculation here, I think there is also a high degree of probability. Aristobulus was a very important name in the Rome of that day. Aristobulus was the grandson of Herod the Great, who lived out his days as a private citizen in Rome. And when he died by Roman law, all his household, his slaves, still maintaining his name, became the property of the emperor. Narcissus was a very important, rich, and successful freed man, a man who had been a slave, had gained his freedom, and had made good on the grand scale. He was put to death by Nero. And again, all his household passed into the hand of the emperor. Neither Aristobulus nor Narcissus was a Christian. And yet, the gospel reached into their homes. And again, what a picture of the power of the gospel. That even when these households passed under the control of the heathen Roman emperor, there was still a living church of Christ. The gospel is the power of God, and it can flourish. This gives me confidence for the day in which we live. It can flourish under the most adverse of circumstances. And of course, you can't read this list without understanding the people here were mostly very ordinary people. The people that Paul was writing to, for the most part, I know that Priscilla and Aquila were able to instruct others in the gospel, but for the most part, these are very ordinary people. They were not theologians. They were not the scholars of the early church. They were people in different stages of Christian development. As I've indicated, some of them were converted slaves. Some of them were freed slaves. Others still under bondage. Now put that in the context of the whole book. These are the people to whom Paul is writing this great epistle to the Romans. This is truly a mind-boggling thought. I have in my library at home quite a number of learned works on the epistle to the Romans. I don't have anything like all the important works. We may have a special offering and I'll be able to get all those. But I don't have anything like all the important works. There have been so many books written on this epistle to the Romans. And when you read many of those learned expositions, you come away shaking your head. How come these people don't get it? How come they can't understand? Most churches, you could not preach the series of messages. This is number 79. I know each one of them seems to have taken a year. You couldn't preach the series of messages that I preached through the doctrinal section of the book of Romans. This is a theology too deep for us. It demands that we think. Now come off it. Where have we got to in the Church of Christ? We have universal education. As far as I know, we don't have any of you here who can't open the Bible and read it for yourself. This was written to people in difficult circumstances. Ordinary people. New Christians. And this is the level of instruction that was given to new Christians. Is it any wonder the early church was a strong church? Is it any wonder that they could withstand the blandishments of the devil? They were instructed not in the stupidities, the inanities of little man-made schemes and little psychological gimmicks, They were instructed in the deep theology of the Word of God, and with that gripping at their hearts and instructing their minds, they could stand for God. That is the need of the day in which we live. This church, let me kneel the colors of the Free Church in North America here to the mast. This church is a church founded on and utterly, absolutely committed to the constant exposition of the truths and theology of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are not going, by the grace of God, to descend into the pit of relativism, whereby we say, well, there are methods to get more people. You go to most preacher studies nowadays, and you will find a list of books that tell you how to do this, how to do that, how to do the other thing, how to do the other thing. And very little in the deep things of God. This church was established for the purpose of preaching Christ and expounding to saints and sinners the fullness of the gospel of the Son of God. Now let me tell you, if you understand that gospel, that is going to help your marriage. And if you come to me needing help, that is what I will use to seek to help your marriage. But this pulpit will never become a marriage counseling platform using the techniques and the philosophies and the psychologies of the world with a Bible text added to make it respectable. It's never going to do that. This gospel will make you happy. I can't think of anything better calculated to make a person happy than to grasp with some degree of fullness the gospel of Jesus Christ. But this pulpit will never degenerate. At least I pray it will not, even long after I have gone to glory. I would pray like Spurgeon, if it ever did, that God would burn it to the ground. It will never degenerate into the folly of the people who, say, for instance, take the Beatitudes and an acute title given to one book on the subject, retitle them the Be Happy Attitudes. The Be Happy Attitudes. So that the church exists to make you happy. Now, how to be happy? How to be this? How to be the other thing? No. The gospel is the answer to all those things. That's what Paul saw. And here are these people, ordinary people, and he expounded the gospel to them.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website, at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.